This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. All along the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Good to be with you. Matt, Brett here today. Jeff Stein joins us here with his political review coming up here in just a smidge of time. Brett, how are you today?
I'm all right. How about you?
Gorgeous weather we've had. I mean, that's nice. Finally had some rain here where we're at, which was nice. And yeah, just a gorgeous temperature. I hope you're able to get out and enjoy this a little bit today. You know, Brett, it's sometimes my job here is, I think, to public service. Help you, the listener, whenever I possibly can. So I'm sitting at home, you know, just chilling, relax, and listen to Young Gravy. Oh, gosh. You know how much I love Young Gravy. Do you have any idea who Young Gravy is?
No idea.
All right. He's from Rochester, out of university. He was from Rochester, Minnesota, graduated University of Wisconsin. Quite popular. Quite the popular guy. He and I relate. We both love the older ladies. Hello there. Anyway, Young Gravy, Grave, as I like to call him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy.
I have listened to a lot of Young Gravy because my kids love Young Gravy. And so I'm like, oh, Young Gravy. Yeah, gravy sounds good. That's the first thing I think of. I was like, oh, maybe I need to make a pork roast tonight. And that's like, when I see, you can't put a word like that in front of me without me like, oh, okay, food time. But no, Young Gravy, delightful. And so, yeah, and so I heard a little bit of him. I was listening to the Young Grave, and I was doing my bills, that sort of thing. You have to do that. The kitchen table issues. I got another one of those cases. I've talked about this before, and God, it makes me mad. Have you ever had it where the bill, they send you the bill and they have moved the due by date ahead like a week and they haven't told you this?
Uh-oh, that's a problem.
A smidge. Just a smidge of a problem. Oh, furious about that. Just, it happened. One banks, all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, this is due when? I didn't get this out. What? They do that, man, and it's by design because, once again, how do they make money? I mean, all these credit cards, banks, businesses, loan, whatever the place may be, they have that deal where, you know, hey, if you, you know, pay on time, guess what? You have no problem. But what will happen sometimes, I had it just recently where I paid off one of my credit cards. I mailed the check on, like, the 29th. By the 12th or so of the next month, they still hadn't gotten it and credited it. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? What is going on here? So I ended up doing a preemptive payment to prevent them from the interest from kicking in. And of course, the second that happened, oh, here's your check right here. Oh, it's right here. Oh, I got it right here. There it is. I hate that. I hate this because it is just such a thanks for nothing. Thanks for your loyal customers who, you know, pay their bills, do the things the right way. Hey, by the way, we're trying to trick all you guys into basically screwing up your payment schedule and getting a late fee or some interest charge. There you go. You know what? You know what I'm talking about. Have you seen this happen?
Yeah, I mostly do all online bill pay and have it set up on auto pay. So mostly I don't run into that too much, but it's happened before, back when I used to pay by paper, you know, a number of years ago.
No, and I'm an old man. I still do things by paper. I will say, I'm wondering if that's the case, is can they do that then? Can they move your payment date if you're doing an electronic payment? Can they actually do that, or else are they basically tied into that? They can't move them at that point. That's the way you do it.
Oh, yeah.
To ensure that they can't, because the variance comes in with the paper bill. Ah! I think I see the fault in my ways. I think I see this. All right. I might have to do that. Because you're right. There are some ones I pay that, you know, that are automatic payment. I mean, I kind of got a mishmash. You know, I think like the gas line and the electrical, they you know, pay those, you know, automatic deposit, you know, Verizon, stuff like that. But yeah, maybe I just need to, you know, they can't move it again if I do that without me. They have to set up with my bank then to move the payment date. And all of a sudden they would be caught. I would not put it past them, though. If the margins, if the Christmas bonuses look like they might be in trouble, I wouldn't put them past the saying, we moved it. It's your responsibility to pay attention to that stuff. You should have gotten a paper bill. That's what they're going to do next. Yeah. You should have gotten the paper bill. I should have. What? I thought we were technology. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. If you have suffered with this, know that you are not alone. It is the and that's the technical term right there.
When that happens, yeah. Nothing worse than that interest showing up.
Well, the panic of, oh my gosh. Now, the good thing is the bank that did this to me actually has a local location. So I can go, over and pay that directly. But that's what I had to kind of skedaddle. That if you're wondering what that flaming ball of speed was going down 394 a little earlier today, guilty as charged. That Sienna's got good pickup. Have I mentioned this? I don't advise breaking the law. As opposed to the valleys at Manny's, we are not here to propose breaking the law. No. So, but I was able to do that. But still, God, man. Thanks for acknowledging I'm a loyal customer that makes their payments and does everything right. Thank you. No, thank you. 952-946-6205. So I want to talk about two things, and I'm going to talk about this first one just really quick now, and I'm going to touch on it more probably in the 4 o'clock hour. Democrats, do not convince yourself it's over. That is, if you think in the post-overturning of Roe v. Wade, that there's no point. No, don't. No. That's the Republicans brainwashing you into quitting. That's Democrats who fall in love with being the lovable loser. No, don't. No. I have friends in the suburban metro area who have basically, these are women who vote Republican religiously. They are this team that's always out there every election, do this. And I see them on Facebook and I see them on social media and I'm like, okay, whatever. They've changed. Their little group, their little book club group that they've got now is now 100% Democrat. And they have said that this overturning of Roe v. Wade, the fact that their daughters have less rights than they have, and they have less rights than they had a few weeks ago, is unacceptable. It is my feeling, just from looking at numbers, looking at reports, looking at the complete drying up of Republican fundraising, which is not being reported. Fundraising for Republicans has fallen off the cliff. It has. If you look at all these things, I'm convinced that the Republicans with this have lost pretty much the suburban areas of most major metro areas, that they're not going to be able to win those, at least not with the consistency that they have in the past. And I think that it comes down to something here. You're right. Yeah, gas prices, they're high. There's inflation. That's not necessarily Joe Biden's fault, but there is inflation. As I've talked about, Republicans are going to scream, crime, black people crime. And that's how the Republicans do it. That's what they scream, black people crime. And that's to scare people into voting for them. The reality is this. They're the ones taking away your rights. All right. They're going to take away contraception. They're going to take away gay marriage. Although the Senate now, I think the Republicans in the Senate are frantically trying to get enough votes to overcome the filibuster so that they basically don't, because that there's a lot of people that are upset about that. We've talked about the Loving versus Virginia, interracial marriage. There are Republicans that want to go after that. They want to go after, they want to reinstall the sodomy law so that Republicans can kick open the bedroom door in your private residence and arrest you for having an unapproved type of sex with the partner of your choice. The Republicans want to do that. Sure, there are problems in this country. Undeniable. Undeniable. But one thing that also is undeniable is that no matter how bad those problems are, you start taking away people's rights and the ability to make choices and start talking down to them like, well, you chicky poos don't need to be working so much because that causes abortions. Ugh. Paraphrasing Matt Burke, the lieutenant governor candidate here in Minnesota. Or they talk about playing the rape card while after they've convinced, they've screamed at you that you are making it up. Trust me. The Republicans are begging you to think it's over. I'm the love of a loser. Shut up. No. If that's what you want to do, get the hell out of the way. Get registered to vote and vote. This isn't rocket science. It's really not rocket science. Get registered to vote and vote. Let me repeat that. Get registered to vote and vote. Get registered to vote and vote. Make sure if everyone who is listening to me right now in all the markets, if you're all listening to me, if you take five people, make sure your five friends are registered to vote and make sure they get to the polls either on election day or with whatever early voting option you have. If you've got five of your friends taken care of, you will annihilate the Republicans in November. It is that simple. Get registered to vote and vote. It is your rights on the line this election cycle. And so, yeah, gas prices might be a little high. They're coming down, been coming down for 6 weeks. Inflation, well, wages have kept up, and actually, signs today, inflation might actually be starting to come back down, which is good. But the reality is, no matter what else is going on, when you're taking away people's rights, that does not go over well. AM 950 on Devil Radio on WAUK 540 in Waukesha. We'll be back in just a moment. Keeping up the hot shot, tough guy.
There are men, and there are giants.
The Matt McNeil Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you live from WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, the Shaw and Waukesha, Milwaukee area, Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, and of course on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Good to be with you today. So I will say this. There are some weaknesses that the Democrats have to address. I want to go back in time. Go back to 2008 and the economic crash. My gosh. I mean, I'll tell you what, it was really bizarre for me. I remember when that started happening, I remember going through my neighborhood and seeing foreclosed, foreclosed, foreclosed. There was one block in my neighborhood where six of the houses were foreclosed on. It was amazing. I mean, it was really wild. And, you know, what it was that basically the George W. Bush administration to, you know, get people to not focus on terrorism basically allowed people to turn their houses into a credit card. And boy, oh boy, who could have ever known that was going to fall apart? And I've said this before. They clearly knew that that whole system was going to collapse. They were desperately trying to get that to Barack Obama's term. Unfortunately, it collapsed in August, September of 2008. Although they still tried to blame that. They knew Obama was going to win. That's what happened. No. That was just, you kept that collapsing avalanche on stilts for 2 years, and finally it just gave way. There was a lot of people after that happened who were starting to suggest the idea of, let's just bail all the people out. Let's cover their mortgages. And I was not on board with that. No. So you bought a house you really couldn't have afforded it in the first place. And don't get me wrong. I understand this. The companies, the mortgage companies, the real estate companies, the banks, they were all in on the insurance companies. They're all in on it. They pre-approved people for houses they should have had no right in trying to buy. But you yourself should have done your own due diligence and said, can we afford this if we have to make the payments? And a lot of people didn't. You bought a house you couldn't afford. You bought it on an interest-only loan, which was going to balloon out and come back at you harsh. You then, on top of that, got a home equity loan out of it. So you basically had more on the house than the more than twice as much on the house than the house was worth. And the people were wondering how that system collapsed. It collapsed very quickly and very easily. And people were asking, like, should we pay, you know, cover these mortgages? And I'm like, no, don't do that. If it was proven the bank had lied, which we have examples of, or the insurance company or the real estate agent or the mortgage company had lied, which we all had examples of, if those cases happen, then yes, they should be able to get out of that house and move ahead. Maybe not stay in the house, but, you know, negate the mortgage, you're done, you don't owe anything, go home. And some people did get that. But the idea of just giving blanket immunity to the people that had gotten into this case. No, my wife and I were offered the same mortgage as everyone else was. And I was just smart enough to say, there's no way on the planet I'm going to do this. I mean, that's just reckless beyond reckless. The gamble you're making is your own house. And that's not a really good gamble to make. That issue never got too much traction. But there is one issue that the Democrats have started to float. And I can tell you right now, you guys need to go back to the drawing board a little bit on it, because I know a lot of moderate Democrats. I know even some regular Democrats, just plain middle of the road, Al Gore type of Democrats, who are like, nah, I don't know if that's a good idea. And that's that whole thing of, we'll make college free. There's not going to be any college debt whatsoever. We'll just wipe it out. Now, I will quickly make the argument that a good portion of the reluctance by some to embrace such an idea is pettiness, bitterness that they weren't given that option. But it's not like they don't really have an argument. What happens with the guy who pays off $180,000and the of college debt, and the very next day, it's free? Are you going to give that guy his money back? Of course not. Are you? In most cases, I mean, the people fall in love with the idea, have fallen in love with the idea, but they haven't figured out the practicality of it. Now, I'll be the first to say, you clearly need to go back to higher education, to colleges, and readdress the cost of them, because it is outrageous beyond outrageous. It absolutely is. You have to go back and do that. I mean, everything from maybe you spin off the sports programs to where they're self-sufficient and they cover their own costs. Research and development covers their own costs, and that can help fund your sciences and math departments. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, a college should actually go back and build a rectangular building. Not every building has to be a freaking floating rhombus or whatever you guys are making. Those are a little pricey. The rectangle worked as buildings for years and generations. Go back to rectangles. They're fine. But the reality is that the more that Democrats keep pushing that issue, the more it actually turns off Democratic voters. And I can tell you, there are a lot of Democrats who will tell me, I'm on board with the entire Democratic platform, except for the free college, except for forgiving all college loan debt. Now, do I believe that, you know, community colleges, JUCOs, tech schools should all be free? Absolutely. I actually could 100% get behind that. Free. If you want to go to a community college, your classes there are free. Or a tech school, your classes there are free. A two-year tech school or a junior college, we'll cover the cost of that. But a four-year college, even a state-run college, that's you have to understand, you can't sell that just with one drop. Figure out a way to cut the cost. Figure out ways to give other people's options. Give those people those chances. See how that works. And then if that works really well and people are on board, it's like, hey, maybe we should have done this before. Then you go back and you look back at you know, college debt. But if the Democrats keep pushing that issue, you are going to turn off a substantial amount of people who, whether you want to just acknowledge that they have a legitimate argument or it's just pettiness, it's irrelevant. They're still not going to vote because they basically feel as if, why are you giving such an advantage when I'm not going to get any of my money back? I feel the same exact way about the Social Security. When Republicans start talking about they're going to cut Social Security, I've been paying into the damn thing for how many years now? Where's my money? You need to rethink that one. Not saying you can't eventually approach it, but you need to do that in steps. Because sometimes when you run to the ultimate far extent of what you really wish you can do, it can end up causing a lot more problems. My God, I was watching some of the coverage today in the Capitol building, and there's the Democrats are still terrified running away from the term defund the police. What you mean is to, you know, put in, you know, some accountability, you know, figure out how you get better training for sure. Maybe some mental health screenings. Those wouldn't be the worst thing. Would not be the worst thing. But you see, is if you sell things with the most extreme stance first, all you do is you have a tendency of upsetting people. Take it in steps. Rethink the plan, and you probably can get it done. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein up next. Got a strong shiver rolling up my arm.
Jeff.
Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. You can find his books at your favorite book retailer and also totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report comes to us from his home radio station, KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa. Hi, Jeff. How are we today?
Well, I can speak for myself, but I'm all right. Hopefully you are the same to constitute the we. Or is this just because now it's, you know, a global radio show? You know, the we is, you know, you're just a plural.
We, it's we. That's what that is. We of course, we're, you know, broadcasting in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, over right in Waukesha and Milwaukee area. Good to be over there. Of course, Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's a growing thing, like a mold. like a fungus. You know, it's you need to spray that down. Stop the itching.
Something that you need ointment for.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Speaking of that, Donald Trump. Sorry, you put the ball in the tee. I'm going to swing.
You know, for you folks in Minnesota and Wisconsin, certainly Wisconsin, I do this. I just lay it out there for him, and he takes a swing. That's how we do it.
All right. There is some breaking news here. I'll get to that in a second. But your thoughts. I mean, he is starting to get in trouble. The walls are closing in. The Department of Justice has come on out and said, no, that they have – and it sounds like it's probably a good bet. The Department of Justice has actually been doing an investigation into whether they should charge him and building a case against him for a while now. And so the walls are starting to close in. I mean, you know, you've got Meadows and multiple other people who are clearly in a lot of legal trouble as well. Bannon's in big legal trouble at this point. You know, there's a lot of people that speculate and say, well, one way for him to try to get out of this is to run for president. So do you think there is, you know, do you think he's going to run again in 2024? Or do you think that's a lot of bluster just to try to stay relevant? And the reality is he knows that, that's just not something on his agenda.
I go back and forth on this personally, because to me, I think he wants to be the kingmaker. He wants to be able to be the aggrieved party, because what does he have to lose? A lot, right?
Yeah.
If he loses the 24 election, then he's a two-time loser. His claims about you can go on about his marriages with the two-time loser.
I tried to date in the 20s, too. So I was 20 years old. So like, would you like to go out? Okay, no, I'll go sit back over here.
You walked up to the table at the disco with five young ladies. Would anyone like to dance? And they all suddenly
No, not at all.
If he runs in 24 and loses, okay, first of all, if he runs in 24, he will get the nomination. If he runs and loses the general election, then all the claims about 2020, instead of being vindicated, they all go away like it was all sour grapes. So he, you know, he could go along as the martyr and then be the kingmaker and say, I'm anointing my successor, and it's Ron DeSantis. That I still think is the smarter play, but, you know, he gets out there in these places, and it doesn't matter if it's Arizona or Alaska or Illinois or wherever, he has adoring crowds, and that's the oxygen that he needs. And so while I still think there's a better chance than not, it's more likely he will not run than he will run. I tell you, he just acts like somebody who's itching after the Republicans take both the House and Senate, his playbook, that is, to announce that he's running for president and try to coast along on their momentum. You could see that happening in mid-November.
There's two different elements I want to address from what you just said. Now, first of all, the point about Trump trying to be a kingmaker, the problem that he's having is he's not having the success he thought he was going to have. I mean, in Georgia and Arizona, there are the people he was working really hard against, and they did not win. Doesn't mean that there aren't some. The Pennsylvania governor candidate, the guy out in Maryland. I mean, there are some that he has endorsed that have come back to win. Clearly, he has, just within Republican voters, appeal, but it does seem like it is waning. And as the further we get away from this, and the more the January 6th committee exposes, is it seems like he's starting to fall more on the side of, you know, close but no cigar versus winning a tight race. And I'm wondering, you know, he clearly doesn't want to comment on any race that his endorsed candidate doesn't win, but it's got to be there, the fact that there's been a lot of people he's endorsed and have not won.
Well, this one's tough because the vast majority of endorsements he's made, those people have won. However, in how many of those races did he jump in and endorse a front runner so late in the race that it made no impact, right? Now, if he gets in on Michigan, and what's the other one that's coming up that's very, very tight? Because he did endorse in Arizona. I think there's another one. But the idea is if he
Wisconsin.
Okay, so if he does nothing on those races, then you know it's a matter of, I just want to keep my my record. I don't care about who wins. I just want my record to be maintained. If he actually does enter into one of those, you know, that's going to be the key point. Will that be the tipping point and the key factor? I would dare say in Pennsylvania, in the Senate race, it was. And now you got to, you know, with apologies to those who will be offended by this, you got to find a milk carton to see a picture of Dr. Oz. He's nowhere in the campaign. I have no idea. Did he think he's already won? You know, so again,
well, and by the way, if you and I can talk just how political campaigns go, you and I have talked about this before. You win your primary. That's where you're talking to the loyal base. Now it's time for you to shed all that partisanship and get out into places where you generally wouldn't go, you know, shake babies, kiss hands, that sort of thing, and get out there and try to say, hey, I'm not really that. I've got, here's my more moderate views. That is the strategy. It's not just Oz. It's the guy in Ohio too. It's almost like they've realized they won, and now it's like, well, I'm not going to change being this far right person. I'll just go hide in a bunker. It really is remarkable, because usually there's a big campaign kickoff. They go on out in the road. They start heading into toss-up districts. You don't see a lot of Republicans doing that right now.
I'm glad you mentioned Ohio, because I neglected that one. In Pennsylvania, Oz has, first of all, name recognition, right?
Yep.
So it's Oz against the incumbent lieutenant governor, who's won statewide office, won races for statewide office. He had health issues, and so Oz kind of supposedly stayed back a bit. Well, that dog's long since hunted, okay? In Ohio, you've got J.D. Vance against Congressman Tim Ryan, who knows a few things about running elections. He's outpacing Vance in the fundraising. He's all over television. He's setting the narrative for the U.S. Senate campaign in Ohio. And I don't know, is it vacation time for the Vance family? It's just staggering. And so to the broader point about the Trump endorsement, you know, that may still carry weight in primaries, and I dare say it has more so than not. Let's check that Arizona Senate race. Let's check that Arizona governor's race when they have those primaries to see if it matters. But that's not going to win you a general election. And you've got to bring in the independents. You've got to bring in the moderates. And if you're content to sit back and say Trump's in my corner, that's only going to get you a third of the potential population. It's going to turn off another third.
Oh yeah.
So why are you doing nothing for the middle?
It is interesting, and because as you go back in the implications of this on its own, on Trump and his endorsements, he becomes the easy scapegoat. If the House and Senate stay in the Democrats' hands, he becomes the easy scapegoat. I mean, and that along with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which I still think is going to have some major repercussions coming in November. But then it becomes, does it mean, because there are a lot of Republicans. I know a lot of Republicans who are like, charge him with a crime, get him out of the way, don't let him run. They're terrified of him announcing this fall because, once again, that even this is a midterm election, it becomes another Trump election. They already know that he's toxic in a lot of places. You know, it would become to a point for the mainstream Republicans, it would be almost a good idea. Let that happen. They all fail. And then they can easily just, you know, sweep him to the side. Let, you know, Merrick Garland go after him and then move on and, anoint DeSantis.
Well, the first thing is the worst thing for Republicans running for office this year is for Trump to announce for president before the midterm. He wants to.
Yes.
But I think
if he's going to,
he's been talked out of it. And the smart money says he's been talked out of it to just let this play out, because the Democrats are already trying to make this a Trump election in a lot of ways, especially in some of the primaries that you've seen, where Democrats are putting money behind the Trump candidate, hoping that person will get the nomination as being the farthest to the right, because then they're easier to pick off in the general election, right? So this is a Trump election. And I don't doubt, I doubt that you know any Republicans. Okay, but put that aside.
Oh,
if in fact you the neighbor across the street doesn't count, it's got to be more than, you know, a second cousin.
I know a few.
Very few. Oh, but please. In any case, it is true there is a large, I would say, cohort of Republicans who think Trump was the answer in 2016. They liked the policies. They still like the policies. They don't like the baggage. And I'll tell you, though, Matt, if Trump, and this won't happen, but if he never mentioned 2020 again in any of these campaign appearances or interviews, 2020 didn't happen. If he just moves on, I think he would stand a much better chance of winning election in 2024. He refuses to let 2020 go. I get it. I don't know what it would be like to be in his position. And I think he truly feels he won. Okay, that's fine. But, you know, the idea of moving forward, you hear a lot of Republicans say, we need to move forward. That does not automatically mean without Trump, but it does mean 2020, we cannot continually go back over and plow this same ground. It's not going to work for voters who are sitting and saying, look at inflation, look at supply chain. What are you going to do for me in the future? Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think Trump won? I'll say it this way. The best liars convince themselves the lie is the truth. And he knew he was, you know, speaking out of his caboose when he started this. But I think, like a good liar, he convinced himself of that being the truth. And I'm not going to disagree necessarily with this. Here's a little bit of breaking news for you on this one. The Republican National Committee has now paid $2 million to law firms representing Trump. But now they're warning if the former president that if he runs for president in 2024, they will stop paying his legal bills. That's now, you know, they're taking a party's neutral policy. Now, when, I guess on one side of it, the RNC might want him to do this because, I mean, if they're spending that much money on his legal bills, that's not money they can spend on candidates they can try to get elected. But at the same time, that actually is, I think, from the RNC. Now, that is the first time I've seen the RNC ever really stand up to Trump and say, you know, this is the damage you will do if you do this. I mean, clearly the RNC feels as if Trump announces, it will be a disaster for the Republican Party.
Well, we've talked before about some of these political parties at various times just can't get out of their own way.
Yep.
And what's the one way that the Republicans can screw up what appears to be laid out for them? And that's one way, is to have Trump announce and say, you get me my Congress now, and then I'll come back in 2 years, thereby automatically making every Republican on the ballot sign on to Trump by definition. That's the way that you screw this thing up. Trump and the RNC have a very odd relationship. They have, you know, Trump issued cease and desist orders or letters. He can't issue an order against the RNC when they were doing fundraising in his name. The RNC raised a whole bunch of money to supposedly help challenge the 2020 election, then didn't spend any of it. You know, so there, it's a prickly relationship at best. It was one thing for the RNC, Matt, in 2020 to say, well, that's fine. You couple of guys who are running against Trump, we support the incumbent. We're not neutral. We support the incumbent. In 2024, he may have been president, but he's not the incumbent. And that's a distinction they can make. And it would probably be wise for them to make it and just let the people decide, the voters in primaries and caucuses decide.
The problem is that there's our, as you mentioned, there's a lot of places where that guy still goes and he's wildly popular. I mean, it's, you're right. I mean, the best thing he'd do is just, you know, move off to the side and let DeSantis take over. That might help the Republican Party, but that is just not who that dude is. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Griner offer from the Biden administration, as well as also I want to get into the, I think we're starting to see a change in the Ukraine-Russian war, in the sense being that it seems like this is going to be the new normal. Any idea that this is going to stop, it seems that's going away. Jeff Stein joining us once again, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. It's the Matt McNeil Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A knife and a merry-go-round. Live and Devil Radio, 92.7 FM in Madison, WTTN 1580 AM in Columbus, WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, The Shaw in Waukesha, Milwaukee, and right here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us right now. And Jeff, it's, you know, I think we all can agree that the Russians, just the way that they were, you know, when they went out there and grabbed Brittany Griner, the WNBA star, and held her and made this mock trial, that this was just it was a political maneuver. We have apparently have put forward the option to get Griner plus another American in exchange for a Russian arms dealer, Victor Bout, that the U.S. is currently holding. I think it's – my guess is going to be – I mean, I just don't know where Russia thinks they're going to go with this. I think it's a real quick way for Russia to get on the wrong side of even like India and China, who have been fairly tolerant of the Russians right now, if all of a sudden they're imprisoning American citizens just to imprison them. And I think because the United States, let's face it, has a lot more ability to control economic issues in the rest of these countries still, regardless of inflation and economic any economic issues. Your thoughts on this, because I got to believe the Russians at this point are probably trying to find some way out of this themselves.
Well, they are. But the one thing that we have to remember is that the Russian system of law and justice is not the same as in this country. And I think a lot of people have sympathy or empathy for Ms. Griner. But the fact of the matter is she had a substance on her person that was illegal. And there's no, you know, here's my doctor's note that says I need it for medicinal purposes. That's not going to cut over there, you know. So in which case, yes, would the Russians like to save face, but by the same token, they're getting a good amount of publicity at home, and it's diverting the home front from the atrocities that the citizens are suffering in Russia due to the how badly the Ukraine situation is going, and that is going to go on. There's no quick resolution of that. I'd almost say that the Russians could have looked the other way with Brittany Griner, but instead they saw it as a good opportunity, as a diversion, and paint Americans in a negative light.
Well, and from what I've understood is there's, you know, basketball players and players like that have gone overseas, yes, and back to Russia before, and they've had these products and they've never really batted an eye. But because of this current situation, it drove that. I should mention Paul Whelan is the other American that would be part of that trade deal with them. That one issue aside, and I think my gut feeling is the Russians are going to take that. I think they'll take it and they'll, you know, kind of walk away from it and they'll act like they got a victory because they got their guy back.
Right. And it's not uncommon. We do these. We always say we don't do them, and then we do them. Yeah. The thing that the Biden administration had to be careful about, and I think they are, is to not just go get a pro basketball player because of high visibility, but to also come away with someone like Mr. Whelan, whose family has been lobbying for help for a very long time. And so that's the way the administration saves face, if they can make it about more than just one American.
It seems as if Europe itself is kind of settling in for this new reality that the oil, the natural gas from Russia, if it's not completely gone, will be before too long, will be completely gone. The thing that's interesting is most of Europe seems to be okay with that. That they seem to have, that they're seeming to accept the fact that we just need to move in a different direction, which for Russia is a bad deal. Don't get me wrong. I think it's going to be tough for Europe for a few years, but eventually when they get up their solar and their wind power and they find other, the United States and Canada for natural gas options there. I think the rest of Europe basically, this is a big, the heck with you to Russia. We're done with you. And this case, it's not going to be a case where they're eventually going to be able to just agree to this land goes to Russia, this stays with Ukraine, and we're done. I think that chance for that is over, that this is basically a new Cold War.
There's no question it's going to be hot in Ukraine and cold for the rest of us, and with the hope that it doesn't become an active hot war. The trick with Europe is the same thing we talk about in this country in terms of converting to other energy sources. You can't do it on a dime. You can't snap your fingers and all of a sudden these other forms are there. There has to be a transitional period, and you almost are forced into it. And that's the thing with Europe. They could have tried to be more independent or have backups in case Russia was a bad actor. But they just assumed, well, Russia's making enough money off of this. They'll always be there. Well, again, different motivations, right? And, we have to think like the Russians in this case. And so the Europeans should not be surprised that their energy sources are now limited and may be gone forever. And it is going to be a tough couple of years until they can get it all figured out.
The Russians were dealt a bit of a blow today. A key bridge in Kherson was blown up by the Ukrainians. This was a bridge the Russians needed to resupply their troops. The Ukrainians have put them into a position where they say, okay, you either have to withdraw or we're going to annihilate you. On top of that, there's two other towns near this town that the Ukrainians have retaken again. Once again, we have to give credit to the Ukrainians. This was a military that was not expected to hold up as they done. And now here we are months later, and they're taking back ground. They're putting Russia into really difficult positions. And I was looking at they've destroyed 222 Russian planes. That's pricey. That's just planes. It's like 4,000 tanks and armored vehicles have been destroyed. 30,000 Russian troops have been killed. The Ukrainians are holding their own, and it is, as much as Russia is going to try to act like this isn't affecting them, their economy is definitely is starting to be crumbling for years.
It is, and as long as Putin can keep his loyal lieutenants around him, he's fine. I had a guest on my program, the new Putin biographer. He worked for the Times of London and the BBC, and he Skyped in from France, and he'd be interesting for you to talk to. But basically, sure. He's saying Putin doesn't care, because it's all about Putin. And so he knew that the economy was going to go south. He knew the people were going to suffer, and he doesn't care because he's got these loyal lieutenants that he allows to get rich in exchange for loyalty. And there's no sign of that cracking anytime soon. Therefore, the war is going to just keep going on.
Well, and the thing with Russia and the history of Russia is that when things do change, they change very quickly. Sure. And that's the way it is when on all these changes is when it was the old Soviet Empire to Yeltsin and, what happened in the 1990s. When it does change, it changes and then it's more reactionary. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time thinking you could get someone worse than Putin, but that's always the fear, is that if Putin goes to the side, what comes in after him?
Well, absolutely. And again, there's no heir apparent, because if you have an heir apparent, then you've designated someone who can topple you. And so, again, it's all about Putin, because otherwise you'd have a succession plan. There's no succession plan, and his health, despite what may be wishful thinking, seems pretty good.
Well, it's very the Sith Lord Star Wars thing. Palpatine having Darth Vader on the side. No, on second thought, I don't want you by me. I'm just going to stay by myself. You are right. He has done a very good job of turning himself into the only person in charge of that country.
And again, he's got the people loyal to him.
Yep.
And he takes care of them. They'll take care of him. No change scene.
Jeff Stein, the Iowa Politics Report. I will get that posted out here a little bit later on as well. We'll spotlight this interview as well. Jeff, we'll actually talk to you again in 2 weeks. Okay, my friend?
Have a good one, Matthew. Thanks much.
Madison, Waukesha, Milwaukee. You're going with Devil Radio. Minneapolis, St. Paul, Hour 2. That's up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, hour two on your Wednesday. Good to be with you. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We should mention, Brett, that for some reason, Wisconsin keeps wanting more of me. So, I don't know. That was smart money. I owe you $5. Apparently we are going to be starting on Monday. You can tell your friends in Wausau on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 98.9 FM, 1230 AM. And in Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, we'll be on WFHR, locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM.
All that Packer talk pays off for you.
I don't know. I wanted to so bad that, the images of Nick Cage there, their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on, what is he going through a midlife crisis already? Your wide receiver broke up with you, and now you're just he's sitting there. He looks like a Christian rock singer that still kind of gets the ladies at night. You can say hello there. I'm here for JC, but hey, who wants to come back to my place with a hot tub a little bit later on? You know that I'm talking about there. He does. You've seen those images of him, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you're kind of thinking like the youth pastor kind of look thing?
You can feel the grease coming off that dude. What are you doing? Okay, I mean, I'm going to presume some people find that attractive, namely Packer fans. And hey, I love Nick Cage and Con Air. That's a cheesy film, but that's the good kind of cheesy film. I thought that was, but it's also Malkovich is in there, John Cusack is in there. There's some really good actors that are in there to help that movie get along. But we already know what's going to happen. I'm gonna have to deal with the Packer fans eventually. They're going to be like, why are you talking about the Packers? Because there's a lot of it. Packers! Oh, God, for God's sakes.
Well, the 2 weeks when the Vikings play the Packers will be a fun week to host the show.
You are so right. You are so right. I'm going to come into the studio and get ready for the show, and I'm going to look up full phone lines. What the hell? Packer, Packer, Packer. Let me tell you something about your god-awful team. Four Super Bowls! Packers! All right.
You can just troll them too. Every week you do your football picks, and every week you pick the Packers to lose, no matter who they're playing. No. I have a hunch the Lions are going to beat them this week.
No, what you really do, if you really want to get at them, don't even pick the Packers game. Don't pick the Vikings game. It's like, today's game is the Bengals versus the New England Patriots. And they're really like, why are you calling that game? It's a good game, right? I mean, we were just talking about two playoff teams. We're just talking about that. It's good stuff. You're not talking about the Packers. My mentality, and folks, I mean, first of all, it's a football team. I have said this for years. It's parsley on the plate of life. It is. I really do hope your life is more than a sports team. Unless you are an athlete on that sports team or an employee of said team. I get it then. You know, if your day-to-day existence is based upon a sports team, well then, I get that. But for the most of us, it's not. And I mean, it's so bad. And we've talked about it here. I mean, they don't have this. And here's one of the benefits, one of the better sides of Wisconsin on the Green Bay. They don't have the damn stadium issues we have. Where all of a sudden that billionaire and owner comes out and says, I need a new $2 billion, $3 billion, $4 billion stadium funded by the taxpayers. Oh, I'm going to start pretending I'm going to move the team. And all of a sudden you get all the people in the town going, hey, you can't lose the team. We're going to be a lesser town. I don't care. You don't ever see the Guthrie Theater moving. I don't see them like pulling everyone out in like their costumes, you know, and saying, we're leaving for Des Moines. They don't do that.
That'd be a fun thing to see in the arts community. Yeah. If they just start threatening.
If you don't give us what we
want. Carnegie Hall is threatening to move to New Orleans.
It's ludicrous, isn't it? Yeah. It is. It's absolutely ludicrous. And it only happens in sports. And so, you know, I think the overemphasis of sports, I talk about it a little bit. I talk about it when it comes to the cost of the taxpayers. The fact that we had so many people in this town who are like, I don't ever want you to spend a tax dollar of mine on some hungry kid who are all of a sudden sitting there saying, why does the city want to spend millions of taxpayer dollars for my favorite football team? You know, that sort of thing. A billionaire-owned football team, by the way. I don't mind talking about that. And sure, occasionally, if they're doing good or doing bad, I mean, I love my Twins. I'll talk Twins all day long. But not here, just because there's too many other things to talk about. It's not that it's... I've talked to too many people in Wisconsin. Too many people in Wisconsin. Too many people in Wisconsin. Who I'll call them up and it's like, hey, haven't talked to you in a year. How you doing? You're just jealous because you're not a Packers fan. Okay, fine. Now, how's your wife and kids doing? Oh, you want to talk about the wife and kids? Or do you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, who looks so smoky hot now? No, I want to talk about how your wife and your kids are doing. Oh, of course, because you just don't have anything else to talk about with that crappy Vikings. And you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You have anything? You want to talk about your job? Nope. You just want to talk about Packers. Okay, fine. If that's where your life is, I can't help you. Because it's supposed to be parsley on the plate of life. It's supposed to be a garnish that makes your life a little bit more pleasant. It's not supposed to be the meat and potatoes on the table. That should be your job, your wife, your kids, your house, your hobbies that don't involve sitting on your caboose and drinking beer and watching the team going, woo! Gardening, canoeing, exercise, anything. And it's not just the Green Bay Packers. My God, I know enough of these Vikings fans, too, that are the same damn way. People that mock and ridicule, look at these guys at Comic-Con dressed up like these superheroes. Now, excuse me while I go put on my purple pants, my purple shirt, my purple helmet, paint my face purple because I got team spirit. Oh, okay. You pathetic losers. I camped out all night long so I could get my Alan Anderson bobblehead. There's a deep cut. There you go. Would you stay up all night long for the Alan Anderson bobblehead?
I probably would not. No.
That was one good season, man. One good season.
Maybe the Herschel Walker bobblehead.
Oh, God, don't. No. Well, you see, this is all we're doing is we're poking the bear now. We're poking the bear. Now, I won't talk too much about sports. And just because, I mean, it just is. You know, if I'm on these stations in Wisconsin, you know what it's going to digress into. And you know what? That's a disservice to you because I got too many political things I can talk about. Trust me. How many times do I have to come into the show and say, okay, what topics do I remove from my list of discussing today because I got too many things to get on the air? So that's going to be that. I got a sad moment. I'm a little weepy right now. I'm going to kiss goodbye to the iPhone X, iPhone 10 here. This is the one that's taken the pictures in all the calendars.
Oh, is it? Why are you getting rid of it?
It's dying. And it's dying not in a pleasant way either. It's really getting into these weird, obnoxious things. And
not like the battery where it stays charged for like 2 hours. That happened to me a couple of years ago, and I'm scrambling to get a new one.
I've had the battery drop like 40 points in like 1 minute. I'm like, what the heck happened there? Nor is it a made up problem like, oh, honey, I don't know where that porn came from. That must be my phone is no, this is actually having issues. Not this time.
Oh, this time.
This time it's actually having issues. No, it's actually, and it's, hey, I'm the kind of guy. I am a very frugal, practical guy. I get something that's expensive. I use it till it dies. I use it till it dies. For God's sakes, look at me. I'm wash and wear. You know, I am not someone that's looking for the newest thing, the hottest thing. That is just not me. I buy a car. This is why I love Siennas. I'll get a little plug in here for Rudy Luther Toyota. This is one of the reasons I love Siennas. Reliable. They run forever. They're comfortable. I'm sold. I'm sold on them. They're absolutely fantastic vehicles. It's that simple. It really is. I'm just a guy that does it. But this thing is, I need to have, I've got another calendar apparently I've got to do coming up here. I gotta do another calendar, man.
So you're gonna have to get these photos off your phone then, too.
Well, it's not like it's okay. All right, really? Do I have to explain technology to you?
You said you operate with you're a frugal person. I don't know.
I got a computer at home that downloads into it. I'm not like Og the caveman here. I'll figure it out. Although I have noticed. Here is me when I have to change. All right, let me get the paper instructions here. First of all, plug phone in. All right, that's me now. I have to back up on the iTunes. Oh, all right, let me get to that. So I'm going to have a new one. Apparently, I have found out. They said, "Well, what color do you want?" So, what colors can I get? Green. Oh, I like green. I'll get green. So now apparently I'm like one of the cool kids because now I've got a green phone. I'm going to have a green phone. Is it that really hot? Is this a Young Gravy thing, man? Where I just don't know. Am I out in my realm?
Green must be the new in color, I guess. Yeah.
It's been around for a while. I don't know if you're aware of it. Have you gone out to the woods? Tons of green out there. It's great out there. I love it. I just like green. I'm a Minnesota guy. I like green and I like blue. Sky, water, trees. Done. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully this phone lasts. Because I drive it. It's like the car. Dig a hole. I'll drive the car when it's on its last sputter into the hole. We could fill it in. I'll go get a new one. That's and scene. That's how it's supposed to happen, isn't it?
Your pressure on the new phone is going to be to make sure it has at least as good a camera as you have now. Otherwise, why are all the photos grainy this year on the calendar?
This phone, my God, of course this thing. It's like a NASA camera. I think I'm hooked into that thing that's taking pictures out in space. That's how good this thing is going to be. I'm terrified of what my new photo is going to look like. I'm going to take a selfie with the thing, and I'm like, yikes, the Crypt Keeper. Where did you come from? I can tell you it's not going to be Hemsworth. It's not going to be a Hemsworth picture. It's more, is that a prune that's been out in the sun? Oh, my God. It's Matt. I've got wrinkles. I'm a little scared. I'm hoping it gets me good nature photos because that's the key, the whole thing. I'm still doing hikes. I'm still going out there.
Yeah.
The calendars are still popular. I'm going to have to do this. One, before I get into the break here, I got to make one correction here because, you know, I do appreciate it when I'm held to a standard of correction. If I make a mistake that I am correcting myself. I have called Matt Burke Frankenstein. That's what I mean. Because if you've seen the monster, you've seen the bolts in the neck and like this, and he looks just like him. Oh, God, is he a disturbing man. Imagine Frankenstein as a redhead. All right, with no bolts. He's the looker. Swipe left. I have called Matt Burke, the lieutenant governor for the Republican Party, Frankenstein. I have been informed by Carpus Stevens. And Carpus Stevens, thank you very much. I appreciate this. Frankenstein was the doctor. You mean to call Burke Frankenstein's monster. So Jensen would actually be closer to Frankenstein. Fair point. So Matt Burke is the monster. And it's time for a disclaimer here. Me,
torment villagers. Me kill people. But I'm not Matt Burke. Holy God, have you heard what he's had to say? By the way, fire bad. There you go.
So, disclaimer from Frankenstein's monster about Matt Burke. Needless to say, it's Dr. Frankenstein that we need to compare to Dr. Johnson. And by the way, now we have another disclaimer. Oh, we didn't see this one coming, did you? Dr. Frankenstein has an issue here. Hey, sure, I might run around cemeteries digging up corpses, putting them together with other pieces of other human bodies and trying to reanimate them like I'm some sort of god. But hey, I'm not as horrible as Dr. Jensen. Whoa. Hey, tone down the rhetoric, Matt. My apologies to Dr. Frankenstein and to Frankenstein's monster. Bad comparisons. I'm really, really sorry. It took me a while to get there, but there you go. Sometimes you see the cab coming down the street. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Oh, Democrats, stop being glum. It's time to get happy, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. Because the reality is you're in the driver's seat right now. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. So I mentioned this at the beginning of last hour, and I said I was going to talk a little bit more about this. I don't want you Democrats out there feeling, oh gosh, no, you're not. No, you're not. As a matter of fact, if anyone's scared right now, it's Republicans. I saw another story today where just the fundraising for Republicans ever since the overturning of Roe v. Wade has disappeared, has absolutely disappeared. Now, I would make I think it's a legitimate question to ask. How much money is left after 4 or 6 years of Trump begging you to send him every damn dime? Think about that. I mean, you probably have, well, I know that there are people that have gone into debt to give Trump money or buy Trump flags. And then they had that scandal the last year he was in office where his donation button was an automatic monthly deduction and was absolutely, you know, screwing over the rest of his own customers. It was bad. So, you know, there are some problems. There are a smidge of problems that he's got going on there. And it wouldn't be surprising to me that that might be one of the reasons why the Republican money trough is not nearly as full as it used to be. I get it. Democratic candidates, you're out there and you're working in these districts. You're out there and you're saying, you know, I'm concerned about crime. All right, here you go. My suggestion for you. Say you are in Maple Grove. All right. Say, oh, the crime. Oh, it's crime. Oh, is there a problem here with Maple Grove police? Have they done a bad job? Is there something I can help you with in Maple Grove? Well, it's not Maple Grove police. Oh, okay. Well, so are you talking about Minneapolis? Well, because, you know, first of all, I'm running in Maple Grove. I'm not necessarily running in Minneapolis. I do understand that you're concerned about crime out there. But once again, I think that Department of Justice investigation in the Minneapolis Police Department will do a lot to clean up that police department and they'll start being able to get the hiring in. Mayor Fry is the person that's responsible for doing the hiring. That was just actually decided by the law. And so it's kind of on him at this point. But, you know, they are bringing in more police officers. They're doing more work there. State Patrol, it sounds like they might be bringing them on in to do some work in Minneapolis. Needless to say, I think you're going to be, they're working on getting that fixed. But once again, that's Minneapolis. I'm running in Maple Grove. And if there's a problem, by the way, is there a problem with Maple Grove police that I need to address? See how easy that is? See what I just did there? Yeah. Gas prices, the grand gimme. All right. Let's play that game. Well, first of all, I want to let you know gas prices indeed have been high. It's unfortunate. There's a lot of reasons why. The war in Ukraine, that's a big part of it. The Russians are evil people, and we cannot bankroll their destruction of innocent people in Ukraine by giving them gas money. That's an unfortunate decision, but that's the case. Needless to say, gas prices have actually come down for 6 straight weeks. It's under $4 in a lot of places in this country. Doesn't mean that that's not still high, but they're coming down. And if you're upset about gas prices, let me remind you of something. The gas companies in this country are private businesses. Joe Biden, the Democrats nor the Republicans control the gas companies. And the gas companies are making record profits. Obscene record profits. They are. And so, I mean, it would seem to me that most of your problem is with the gas companies who seem to be gouging us at this time of inflation. And scene. See how you just when you just diffuse. Oh, you know, and don't get me wrong. I get it on both of those issues. On both of those issues. Crime is going to be Democrats. Or it's gas. It's Joe Biden. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. You know, that sort of thing. I get it. But those are people that aren't going to vote for you anyway. Okay? Let's just be honest with you. The guy with five Trump flags in his front yard, they're not going to vote for you. Keep knocking on the doors. Keep knocking on the doors. If Democrats knock on every door in their district, they will win. If Democrats knock on every door in their district, they will win. Republicans are terrified in the post Roe v. Wade being overturned era to go to doors and knock on them, because the first thing that they're going to run into is, what the hell do you mean I don't have the same rights I used to have? What is this about you guys going to take away contraception? What's this about basically gay marriage going to be made illegal? And when the Republican goes, I'm not against this. All you have to, they're terrified of what the reality is, well, you're part of the Republican Party, and the Republican Party doesn't allow you to vote your own independent view. You're going to have to vote the way the leadership of the Republican Party tells you to, which is they want to basically continue to take away my rights and my family's rights and my friend's rights and my neighbor's rights and my coworker's rights. I'm not on board. Republicans are terrified of door knocking right now. They're terrified of it. So get out there. And I get it. The Republicans, they're mean. Man, they're mean. I like being the lovable loser. No, don't. No, 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 no. Get out there and hammer away on the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Because as much as gas prices or inflation or crime might be an issue, they're trumped by when you have the Republican Party actually taking away individual freedoms and rights. And that's what they're doing. And they're going to go after gay marriage, and they're going to go after contraception, and they're going to go and reinstall the sodomy laws to prevent you from having, you know, the relations that you want in your private bedroom with the person you want to, that they're going to make it to where law enforcement can kick open the door of your private residence bedroom and arrest you because you aren't having one of the pre-approved types of sex. And yes, say that. Don't, you've got a big bat on the bat rack. Grab it and swing freaking away. People don't like the fact that Republicans are taking away their rights. Don't sit there and say, well, I don't want, it's so good. I'm going to talk about solar power. Shut up. Go out there, grab the big bat and swing. They have handed you the issue which will carry the Democrats to victory in November. If you don't use it, well, it'd be that, you know, be on brand for Democrats, let's be honest. Oy. This isn't rocket science. Stop trying to be too damn clever. You've been given the issue to basically win with. And in case you're missing the bigger point, the much bigger point, the very large point, most people are on your side right now, proven by the campaign finance reports. The reports released yesterday show DFL candidates maintain a big cash advantage heading into the November election, even as the most analysts expect the party to face headwinds due to inflation and crime. Notice none of these stories talk about the Roe v. Wade impact. That's that, God, man. No, the Roe v. Wade impact, trust me, there's a lot of people angry. Do not miss that point. Democrats, because like I said, it's okay. So you're saying there's headwinds, but the gist of the story is, oh, Democrats are raking in money left and right. What does that freaking tell you? Most people are backing Democrats right now, at least the ones that have got checkbooks. Democrats reported record-breaking fundraising numbers in 2022, which party leaders attributed to donor enthusiasm related to national events like the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade and fighting that, plus the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, prompting voters to back gun control candidates. You have a 9 times advantage. This is supposedly a tight, tough race for Governor Walz. He's got a 9 times advantage over Dr. Jensen in the fundraising. 9 times! And he's going to be all over Minnesota television coming up this fall. All over it. Steve Simon's got a major advantage. Keith Ellison has got a major advantage over the individual the candidates. Even we talked about Julie Blaha, the state auditor. She's behind, but that's only because the Republican auditor candidate has given a ton of trade out to his own campaign that he's basically added to his numbers. Ettinger leads down in 1. It's not even freaking close in 2, 3, 4, and 5. It's not even close. Isn't Angie Craig supposed to be a congresswoman that's in trouble? Not on the fundraising side of things. Fundraising doesn't mean winning. What means winning is voting. All right? But sometimes Democrats can't see the freaking forest for the trees. You tell me what's happened in the last month to where all of a sudden the money is pouring into Democratic coffers and has stopped going into Republican ones. What is it? You've taken away people's rights. The evidence is right there in front of your face. Get out there and fight. Fight on Roe v. Wade. Fight on gun issues. I just gave you 2 great ways to disarm the people that come at you with the crime issue or come at you with the gas issue. Get out there and challenge them, because the reality is people taking away people's rights usurps any other issue. And if you don't campaign on that issue and that issue hard, that should be your main focus point of your campaign. Then you are handing the victory to the Republicans. One final note here. As I said, vote. Get registered, vote. That's the only thing that matters. Getting the Democrats voting. That's the only thing that matters. Everyone needs to get down to 1. Get down into Minnesota 1. That special election comes up here August 9th. Get down there, help Ettinger down there. He can win that seat. He can win that seat. He's trying. Get donations into him. Get volunteers down there. If you know anyone that lives in the first district, call them. Tell them, make sure you're registered to vote and to vote. That is the most important thing right now. August 9th, because in my mind, I think that is a ripe opportunity for the DFL to pick up that seat. A ripe opportunity indeed. So, what is it? You're going to fight or you're going to flee? I'm going to fight, because I'm tired of watching my rights getting taken away. And I'm tired to a point of weak Democrats going, oh, they did it again. Time to tighten up, cinch the old belt, clench the fist, and get out there and fight. Because that's what matters, is whether or not you want to win. And damn it, at this point, the vast majority of us want the Democrats to win. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Stories I got to get to. I got the sentencing of the 2 officers, plus as well We got to talk a little bit about bigotry and hatred because there's some stories that came up about that. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. You know, Brett, this weekend, I think I might go to the mountains of Minnesota.
The mountains of Minnesota?
Oh, the mountains. Haven't you ever seen the majestic mountain ranges of Minnesota? Apparently, Doug Wardlow has, because he just released an image for a campaign ad with him standing in front of a bunch of mountains. Big ones too, not like the rolling hills, like over in like Little Canada or anything. No, it's big rocks up in the that's a mountain. Yeah,
that's a massive screw up. I mean, Politicians do this all the time. When Jason Lewis filmed that commercial in the wrong district, Dr. Oz did an ad in New Jersey instead of Pennsylvania, but Wardlow putting mountains in the background is kind of a new level.
Why don't you have like palm trees and a lighthouse behind you just on the shore? Welcome to Minnesota.
We'll have some palm trees in the next ad.
You wrestling a gator. Oh, God. Oh, God, he's a gift that keeps on giving, doesn't he? He's just a gift that keeps on giving. The beautiful, majestic mountains of Minnesota. If you get the chance to see that ad, you can go to my Twitter feed, at Matt McNeil Show. I've just reposted that. God.
Not even subtle either. It's not like he accidentally put him in there. They're prominently featured.
You might have him. Why don't we put him in Lederhosen with like one of those little German hats there and a walking stick? Here I am in Minnesota. I don't know if you're aware. It's a pretty photogenic state. Even in winter, this state's gorgeous. A little fresh snow, it looks great. It does. You don't have to go to Getty Images, man.
I like one of the Twitter replies. It might be what he thinks the Iron Range looks like. Remember the great Iron Range?
The range. Oh. My favorite was Bruce Hornsby in the range. Oh, God, those are magnificent mountains, aren't they? The way it is, man. It's the way it is. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Back to the non-mountainous version of Minnesota. The two ex-Minneapolis police officers involved in George Floyd's death who were sentenced Wednesday for violating his federal civil rights. Alexander King had been sentenced to 3 years in prison for failing to intervene and failing to provide medical care during Floyd's death on May 25th. Soon after that, Toth Tao was sentenced to 3.5 years. Derek Chauvin knelt on Floyd's neck over 9 minutes during his arrest. Along with Thomas Lane, the three other officers were found guilty in February for violating Floyd's federal civil rights. According to the First Step Act signed by Trump in 2018, federal inmates typically serve up to 85% of their sentencing with good time served. Both King and Tao say also face state charges aiding and abetting murder, manslaughter. The trial expected to begin October 24th. Once again, we should be asking Schultz what he would do with that trial. I know he probably doesn't want anything to do with it, but the reality does anyone really doubt that the suspicion would be as he would say, you know what, we've punished these police officers enough. That would be my guess. Lane was sentenced to 2.5 years for the same crime last week. He entered a guilty plea. Chauvin was sentenced to 20 years in prison for violating Floyd's federal civil rights, as well as 22.5 years in state prison for the murder of George Floyd. May you rot in hell, you jackass. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Shay is in Minneapolis. Wanted to chime in on the CD1 election. Welcome on in, Shay.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear you talking about that because we can flip that seat.
Yep, we can.
And the special election is August 9th to replace the Republican that died in office. There's an organization called Vote Forward. There's organizing people to send letters to CD1. Voters, encouraging them to vote. If you can't go down and help, you know, the targets are reluctant, underrepresented voters. And in a special election, remember, everything is about turnout. To send the letters possible, we need 40 people to go to voteforward.org and sign up to take 50 letters to be sent out by August 4th. But anything helps. You need a printer and envelopes and stamps. The vetting takes less than a day. And don't believe the garbage that MNCD1 is a red district. That is this seat is where our Democratic Governor Walz came from. And the Democratic who lost in 2020 only lost by 11,000 votes out of 260,000. We can do this. This is a worthwhile effort.
And Shay, thank you. And by the way, I want to mention that's Vote Forward, you said, voteforward.org?
Yeah. So it's VOTE, then FWD.org.
Shay, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call on that. She's right. And I tell you what, if I was the DFL, I'd be putting billboards in the most red districts, reminding them that just say, what I would say there is, the billboards would say, upset about gas prices? The oil and gas industry is a private sector. Contact those corporations. I would just put these little things out there. Make sure people start questioning whether the narrative they're putting out there. You're upset about crime in Minneapolis? Well, that's good because that's Minneapolis and we're in here. There you go. There's your billboard. Do you like your personal rights being taken away? Well, keep voting Republican because they'll keep doing it. Those are your billboards. I'd go into the reddest areas and put those things up. Really start, because I guarantee you're going to start turning people. And reminder, it's not just the red districts, Rochester, those river towns. Austin's got some Democrats down there. The northern parts of that district, they're starting to get into the metro area now. Get down there. Tell everyone to vote. Tell everyone to vote on August 9th. Everyone to vote. Get down there. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Some other stories I wanted to get to. This is an unfortunate story here. That happened in Edina Public Schools. And I had actually someone from the Edina School District send me the images of the notice they put out on this. The superintendent of Edina Public Schools says a noose was found hanging in the courtyard by a local community building. The offending item was found outside the Edina Community Center on Tuesday, according to the superintendent, Dr. Stacy Stanley. It was removed and the incident has since been reported to police. In a statement to parents, Dr. Stanley said, a noose is a heinous symbol long known for its intimidation, harm, and violence against Black and African Americans, most recently towards other non-dominant groups. We stand against racism and condemn hate. These events are painful, not only for those targeted, but also for everyone in our community who values diversity and inclusion and is working towards change. Stanley says she wants members of the community to join Edina Public Schools' next One Town, One Family event at Edina High School on September 22nd in order to show the acts of hate and harm do not reflect who we are. And I don't think that that does reflect who Edina is. I don't. But if I can, I graduated Edina. I know. They're not proud of it either. Well, actually, I liked it. I thought it was nice. They had a really good school lunch program over there. I know, it was tasty. But they don't send me notes. They don't send me updates as alumni or anything like that. I don't think this is Edina. But there, when I was at Edina, there was something that was very clear. And that was that if a wealthy person's kid did something wrong, and we're talking Edina. I mean, these are some very wealthy people. If one of their kids did something wrong, well, there was a different standard for punishment than if it was another kid. It just was that, there's that all of a sudden things were swept under the rug. Things were talked to. There had been a stern talking to. My guess, I have no, I have nothing that, evidence against this back then. My guess was a fairly substantial booster check was written to the school and things kind of disappeared. You can't have this. This is the second incident at this same facility. They had the tennis courts there where there was racist language that was written on the tennis courts. Now you have the noose showing up. It's Edina. You got cameras everywhere. Don't tell me you don't know who did this. And I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. You've got to prosecute these people. You've got to have a strong reaction more than a wagging of the finger. That's the only way this stuff is going to stop, is if people realize if you let your bigotry out there to try to intimidate others, there's going to be consequences. Another issue under the same vein, I don't know if you remember this, St. Louis Park High School leaders have agreed to resume athletic competitions against New Prague as the latter takes meaningful steps toward changing its school district's culture. Concern raised in February about racist behavior towards St. Louis Park's boys hockey players led to the cancellation of sports competition against New Prague for the remainder of the 2021-22 school year, a dramatic decision that drew statewide attention. Earlier this month, New Prague High School leaders released a school climate update that shows an outline taking steps to work in progress on plans on working with students and staff, parents, and community leaders for positive change. Andy Awald, activities director at St. Louis Park High School, said he and other school leaders reviewed the information are cautiously optimistic about declaring on two members of the Metro West Conference. We're not holding our breath and thinking this is just a matter of when it will happen again. I really believe they have taken our concerns seriously. Robbinsdale Cooper had also canceled New Prague games, citing racist taunting of the girls' basketball team, which includes athletes of color. New Prague school leaders said an investigation couldn't substantiate allegations that his fans made loud monkey noises during the February 15th game at New Prague, about 45 miles southwest of Minneapolis. Robbinsdale Cooper has since departed the Metro West Conference along with Bloomington Kennedy for the Tri-Metro Conference. The move has been planned for several years, though, according to the Cooper spokesperson. So some results there. And I hope New Prague cleans that up because they had a mess down there. It sounds like they had a mess down there. It sounds like they're taking it seriously, which is a good thing. When I come on back, I'm going to give you I generally don't try to do this, but I'm going to give you, something to look out for and a task to do if you see it. I'll explain in just a moment. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. So I want to give Sally Jo Sorensen over at Blue Stem Prairie credit because she was the first one that was talking about this. In Watertown Public Opinion, they were talking about anti-Semitic propaganda that was being thrown throughout Watertown, South Dakota. At least 50 anti-Semitic flyers have been recovered in the Watertown Police Department, and more than double that have been found by citizens in town since Monday morning. This was from a few weeks ago. Around 7 a.m. on Monday, the police department was alerted to bags of rice with anti-Semitic propaganda inside strewn throughout the neighborhoods in Watertown. So they've got a bag with some rice in it. They're putting anti-Semitic things, and then they're going and chucking them on the driveways. A month later, Highland Park anti-Semitic flyer drop echoes late May leafling of Watertown. Since then, there have been numerous other communities in the metro area that have seen this anti-Semitic garbage being thrown out there. Minneapolis, St. Paul, St. Louis Park, Hopkins, Edina, North Oaks, New Brighton, Cottage Grove, and Arden Hills. So, clearly, these bigots are coming through town. So, first of all, keep an eye out for it. If you get that, contact your local police department and let them know that someone's throwing hate literature out in your neighborhood, by all means. But the most important thing is this, is that we all, if you are carrying a phone, have a camera. If you are going into a neighborhood and you're just saying you're walking your dog and you see a car that's going somewhat slow and they seem to be throwing something into driveways, I want you to do me a favor. Don't go up there and see what they're doing. Just immediately pull out your phone and take pictures. If it ends up being an innocent mistake, you can always delete the photos. You're not going to violate anyone's civil rights on that. The point is that these bigots are trying to do this anonymously. And they're coming in, and it sounds like they're coming in with some speed, and they're going in there, and they're kind of going up and down a street and throwing these bags out the window. Well, if you see anyone doing that, take the pictures first. Don't just I don't want to overstep. No, just take the pictures. Then, if you end up finding, oh, here this vehicle was throwing anti-Semitic literature out the window, immediately contact the police. Get them those photos. If you can get the license plate, get the license plate. By all means. And basically, you know, turn them in. Because, you know, once again, and going back to what I was saying about Edina, and I want you guys to hold these people accountable. If you don't hold these people accountable, it's going to continue to go on. You have to make this an incredibly public condemnation with harsh penalties. That's how you stop this. You're never going to be able to legislate bigotry out of people's souls. They're just broken human beings. You're just not going to be able to do that. But what you can do is say this, you know, you think that way, then keep it to your freaking self. Stop with your hate. The rest of us don't want to hear it. And isn't that the point of what these people are doing? They know people don't want to hear it. That's why they're sneaking into neighborhoods and putting out their leaflets. So if you see a car anywhere in the metro area, if you're in the secondary suburbs, the tertiary suburbs in Minneapolis or in St. Paul yourself, you see someone going slowly down the street and chucking bags out their windows, don't even hesitate. Don't even skip a beat. Grab the phone. Take as many pictures as you can as you walk up to it and say that there is some sort of justification for it. I don't know what that would be if you saw someone doing that. I mean, is there anything you could think of? I mean, newspapers, obviously, but I mean, I think it's pretty clear when it's a newspaper being chucked out of a car versus something like this. No,
I couldn't think of any reason why that would be a legitimate thing to distribute.
It'd be the worst Uber Eats delivery ever. here's your chicken right there in the driveway. I can't believe that. So it's got, just be better safe than sorry. Get photos of this. Find the cars. We find the cars. We find the individuals. Then we can charge them with hate crimes. It's that simple. So safe than sorry. Get that phone out. Trust me, it doesn't have to be a good picture, but at least if you can identify the car, you can identify the license plate, you can identify the driver a little bit before they speed away, because that's what they kind of do. That's good. And call the police. Make sure we stop hate. Huh? All right. Have a good one. We've got Devil's Radio, got Native Roots Radio next. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.